Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome to Packers on My Block Packs Podcast. AG, turn off the mute, baby. I'm your host, Mike Wall. With me,
yes,
as always, my technologically advanced, all-time leading running back for the Green Bay Packers.
I forget every time that thing.
I'm almost playing a game with you now to see if you'll do it.
I forget to look down and see my mic has the little slash between it. Oh, man, so... Hey man, I'm doing good, man. I'm good.
Stop showing your age.
No,
it's like
not paying attention.
My dad said something to me over the weekend, something about his like phone not working, and I realized that my parents are 76.
Okay? Yeah. No.
My parents, if my dad texts you, it could be my mom or my dad. They have two.
Oh, they're not connected.
They have two phone lines, but as far as like iMessage or whatever goes.
Yeah.
Or FaceTime or any, it all goes through one system.
iMessage does that.
Yeah, I'll be shooting some probably inappropriate funny stuff to my pops. And all of a sudden my mom's over there like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get the joke. Like, what are we doing, guys? I mean, it's 2023, people.
Yeah, you gotta know the inside joke. I'm gonna do this read real quick. Like, bet our people our support sponsors here at betonline.ag is our number one source for all our basketball information. Basketball has been, I say, revving up. The playoffs are looking good, looking interesting. And so with the stats, news, and scores, you get all that. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports from for this year's basketball pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is your sports information headquarters this season, as we have covered all of the wagering needs, basketball, MLB, NHL, hockey, right now, all in the playoffs, and a lot of UFC fights coming down the line all summer long, and boxing as well. So BetOnline is the fastest and easy way to get your betting information, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games. Also, you can play right from your home. So get out there. Let's go head to the website today for your mobile device. Get on the website. Be sure to use the promo code BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus for your first deposit. So, Mike, bet online where the game starts.
Yes, sir. I have to be honest with you. I seem like I have the kind of personality in my mind that I'd be a huge sports bettor, and I don't do it. And I'm just every time I every game I watch.
Okay, yeah, I'm knowing you long enough. That makes
every,
sense.
Every game
yeah.
that I watch that I don't bet on, like a little, I think a little piece of me dies.
Because you're like, I could have won that.
Well, yeah, especially like the playoffs this year.
The NBA is crazy.
Here's the prop bet that I want to know about. Did you watch the Lakers Nuggets last game?
Yes, I watched. Okay.
So the prop bet that we have to talk about is what is the over and under for Lakers free throw differentiator from the Nuggets? Because the NBA is trying to throw the, every game, and the game three was one of the most egregious, like poorly officiated games I have watched.
Yeah.
It and was it some, didn't, oh. and it, the Nuggets were just that much better. They just weren't missing shots.
Right. But
they're throwing, I mean, LeBron James could literally do a pirouette at half court, and if he misses the shot, they'll call. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, you see his flop that he did the other day?
What's that?
Did you see the flop he did?
Oh, for a guy who, I mean, you know what? You know what you got to really respect about what
he tried. He was trying to sell it.
But he comes out every year and he talks about what a tough guy he is and how he right. doesn't flop because he's just not that guy.
Exactly.
He's one of the most egregious floppers I think I've ever seen. Like, and what he does now is, I mean, listen, he's the best player on the planet. I mean, you know, Michael Jordan's my best of all time.
Yeah, mine too.
LeBron James is the best athlete I think I've ever seen walk this earth as far as everything the man could do. I mean, he's 6'8", 265 pounds, built like a brick shit house, probably runs a 4'5", you know, 40-inch vertical. You're just going, what?
No more.
Fair, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he looked like when he's standing next, when he was standing next to Andrew Wiggins in the Warriors matchup. Andrew Wiggins is not a small dude.
No.
LeBron James' shoulders, like if he was on my camera right now, his shoulders would be on both sides of the cut screen. You know, he's enormous. But he chases, he fouls everybody, and then he chases the ref with his hands up like this. Oh, you know, like every time, like what are we doing? Like, bro, you can get a foul. It's okay. Like he's never fouls out of games. Really. The whole thing is – anyway, I wonder what the over-under for the discrepancy in free throw. Like I think the Lakers are going to be like – if I was a betting person, I would bet that the Lakers take 13 and a half, the over under would be 13 and a half free throws, more than the Nuggets take. So whatever, whatever the Nuggets, if the Nuggets take two, they're going to take 15 and a half, 16.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree. I agree with that. Cause I'm looking at the stats here. They had 29 attempts at the free throw line compared to 19. So
I think it's going to be worse.
Yeah. And like you to your point, I was watching that. I watched that one flop where he's defending Jokic, and Jokic just does a simple move, and LeBron creates his own momentum to push himself off and slides it to the first row of people on the sideline seats. So just like, come on, man, you didn't have no leverage, but you created it somehow, the momentum, and then. Like you said, that comment too. I knew I was like a comment. I was like, come on, you make this stuff, you say this stuff, but then you do this.
There was
hold yourself accountable. Let's go.
There was a joke last year that like the NFL was scripted, right? I can't remember how it started or whatever.
Yeah, it was what's his name? It was the running back after me at Houston, Arian Foster. Arian Foster brought it up.
Yeah, he was in Miami for a minute. He's that's interesting. I will say this though, like when I watch the NBA sometimes, and not like. With specific teams, because obviously it pays the NBA to have a longer series. It pays the NBA for the Lakers to be in. It pays the NBA for LeBron James to be in.
More tickets, more than the Denver
Nuggets.
That.
Like, there's no Denver Nuggets market. Like, I don't
know. Not right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, it's like we get it, but it almost seems like there's I picture this like dark cigar room and like in the back office where like all these guys are like smoking stogies and like drinking scotch. And talking about how, like, who's going to throw the next game? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that room exists somewhere in this world.
Yeah, really, it's got to.
It has to. 100%. I could picture that for sure.
AJ Dillon was in the news. The running back coach was talking this week and about increasing production. All these guys need to pull their weight a little bit more because of Jordan Love. And we've talked about this for the last two seasons. How AJ seems to. Get better as the season goes along, kind of find his footing, run behind his pads a little bit more. And the running back coach was saying, listen, he started a little bit slower than we would like. He's trying to figure some things out during towards the end of the season. He got better. I'm not quoting, but that's essentially the gist of it.
Yeah. You're all right.
What I wanted to talk about, AG, is just from a running back, because we could talk about this from every position, but when you're starting, let's just say from the offseason until now, is it a, did you just approach you probably always had the same mindset. Does anything change? Is there a time during the offseason transition where you're like, oh, it's go time? Did you think I got to get faster this year? Maybe I got to put some more shoulder strength on. What are the things that you can do to help yourself feel like you're ready to start faster?
I say early in my career when I was younger, that's where I kept my brain in terms of my body, in terms of keeping my speed where it was, because I was still young. You know, I got drafted when I was 21. So I knew that between normal time and everything else happening, that through that, my time would be basically getting ready, keeping my speed up, but then strength as well. And then as I got older, it was more of a working on a steady endurance type of training, from doing Peloton before it came out, riding bikes, stuff like that, working on endurance, just having that knowledge of making sure that I get all my injuries healed up first, and then see where I'm at, see how I feel. And then as you go in age, you just got to listen to your body and know that speed is going to decrease, because it's just mother nature. It's just the way it is. And long as you could keep that speed, and I say that endurance and energy up, to play four quarters. You don't have to be physical, but at least one or two times a game as you get older. But when I was younger, I tried to use that, my strength and my running through people ability, very number one, a lot of deadlifting, a lot of hang cleans, all that. But then as I got older, I just paid attention to what the things I knew I needed to do, you know, get a first down. Wasn't thinking about the big run all the time. Had to be conscious of that, because you just know mother nature eventually takes over.
What did you think about your body composition from year one to year six? Did it change? Did it stay the same?
Year one, yes, it did. I say it became a little bit thicker, a little bit more thicker. When I was creeping to 30 years old. So I paid attention to that. So I was obviously changing things in my diet, changing things in my conditioning, you know, doing a little bit more long endurance speed training, to get used to that, to make sure I didn't lose that I say more than endurance, because at the end of the day, you wanted to be in the game. I wanted to be in the game for four quarters and be ready to go for four quarters, because I saw, you know, in my early years before I hit 30, those, when I got up to my prime in 03, I was at a high level in terms of weight. I was like 218, but knowing that my off season, I did this. So I made sure I try to copycat that same off season, try to keep my body weight at the same weight. It fluctuate between about 218 and 221 or 222.
It was funny. I have one of the guys I work with. We were talking to him about, I was talking to him about finishing, because especially with offensive linemen now, you kind of get paid for pass pro, but you get famous for run blocking. You know what I mean? You get paid because your numbers are good in pass pro, but really, if you want to get like notoriety, if you want to get famous, you got to run block. You got to knock people on their backside. And we were talking about it, and he said something to me that because we worked, our group worked so hard, and we would, you know, we'd chase you down the screens game. And we were always 40 yards downfield, always working. And we just practiced really hard. It was just part of the way we practiced back then. But he said, you know, being able to finish isn't a tough guy thing as much as it's a conditioning thing. He goes, most guys in this league feel like they're tough guys, you know, in the first 5 minutes of the game. He goes, but after that, most guys are usually kind of not hanging on, but they're limiting themselves, or they have a throttle engaged so that they don't, or a governor on their throttle so they don't burn out.
Right.
And if you don't have that concern, like to your point of being able to go into the fourth quarter and just keep playing at the same pace, it doesn't matter if you're running in your case, if you're running a 4.3 or 4.4, who cares if in the fourth quarter you can run a 4.4 the whole time? It's like, life's a little bit different for everybody else, isn't it?
Exactly. It's just about outrunning that person, you know, and that from the endurance side of it. And that's why I saw guys before my time, Jerry Rice, you know, he was a guy that he consistently did hill and mountain running training, you know, where it was elevation and creating that long, strong endurance rate. And that's what T.O. took from him. He did that. You saw him doing a lot of long wind sprints, you know, jogging around the city where he lived or wherever he trained in the summer when it was hot right before training camp. And that was the same thing I wanted to simulate, because that was the type of, I say, body type and that training you want to get incorporated. And that's what AJ has to think about for himself. You know, obviously he's a big guy. So, you know, knowing that, he's got to look at, for one, his strength, because that is right now his weapon. He could use that if he stays fresh and doesn't get a whole lot of big injuries, which he hasn't, just maybe I say more thigh bruises than anything, but that's easy treatment and easy maintenance there. So right now, use that strength as an advantage. But then in the meantime, start working on that's endurance speed too, making sure he's conditioning to where he can stay on that field a lot longer than his just, you know, one or two, three times that he comes out on that football field.
Okay, so this is interesting though, because Aaron Jones is still on the team and they are going to split time, and Aaron Jones is a higher yards per carry, and he's probably, mm-hmm. you know, at least early in the season, he seems to get more carries. I know that sometimes later in the season when it gets cold outside, they want to put AJ in more. And so you wonder if he's got to prepare. I mean, I suppose you have to prepare to take every snap, but the reality is, like, you're not going to take every snap. So
right.
do you, if, let's say AJ weighs, I don't know what he weighs. Let's say he weighs 250.
Correct.
Do you pare down to 246 so that you can get an extra 2-3 series in, or do you stay? So you feel like you're your absolute most powerful, even though that might mean you're not as good in the fourth quarter, but you know, assuming you played an entire game. You know, there's that he has to think about, but I mean, really, let's be honest. When you're 23 years old, you're built, you're 250 pounds.
Yeah.
If you want to start fast, you just got to be like, I'm gonna train really, really hard, and I'm gonna do everything I can, from like a pregame ritual to the way I start practice every day to my demeanor getting dressed every day. Everything's got to get a little more dialed in so that when I hit the field for that first time, I want to make a statement. That's what you always talked about. For you, and that's what I always wanted to do, is I always wanted to be the first person to punch somebody in the mouth.
Yep.
And I know you felt the same way. And it was almost like, we want to get that first hit in immediately so that everybody else is, oh man, we're in a game, we're in a dogfight.
Exactly. You want to set the tone. But that 4 to 5 pound fluctuation, it from a strength point of view, he's not going to lose much strength. So if he did slim down, you know, to 246 or 245, that he's going to gain that back in the wintertime. Because no matter what I did between 01 and 04 or 05, I still gained that 4 pounds in the wintertime in Wisconsin. It was just my winter fat. That's what I called it, my winter fat. It came naturally. I mean, I hadn't changed nothing. I was eating the same. You know, water intake was the same.
More my lineman hitters for you.
Yeah, it was like, it might have been that. But still, we were doing that all season too. So I always fluctuate. I knew I'd be between 218 and 222. That was my weight from those years, and that's where he has to find his number and take notes, you know, get a notebook and actually chart. Okay. 2022 or 2021, I was this weight for the season. This is a week over week, same thing. And that's something I say a lot of good running backs. I know of talking to Edgerrin James, talking to Fred Taylor. I remember Edgerrin James like, hey man, I got a notebook. I keep my tabs on my weight and my speed and my like per carry, just little stuff, but more importantly, the weight. Because then I knew I was working out. I was staying at the same weight. That means I could come out on that field regardless of there's no anxiety of, man, I'm out of shape. I'm at the same weight, you know, that I was the previous years that I rushed for 1,800 or I rushed for 1,500. And I feel the same, too. I could run 5-6 plays before I'm tired. You know, when you could do that, you could, as a running back, when you tell yourself, when you see that coming out of you, then you know where you're supposed to be for the year.
Yeah, it's funny. You probably should do it with weight. And we did, you know, we had to do weigh-ins and everything.
Yeah.
But you can be a little more precise than that. I always did it honestly I was always trying to gain 3% during the season. I wanted to get 3% stronger during the season.
Yeah.
So you'd have your walk-in day one, what you would be like, you go through training camp, but then you just start modeling all the kind of the core lifts. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I gotta be hitting this many reps for this amount of weight on these days.
Oh, 100%.
If I could do it, it's like I didn't care about the weight anymore because I knew like I was getting stronger while I was playing full speed.
Yeah.
And so it just depends on what kind of mentality you have. Like if you're a guy that has a hard time getting through practice, which a lot of guys do, like it's just part. It's not fun, right? Like, it was fun for us.
Yeah,
It's not always fun. Like people don't always enjoy it. You know, they do it because they have to do it.
Yeah. The only part I didn't like was waking up. That was it. Once I woke up, I was okay. But I was like, waking up was like, is this Tuesday or Wednesday?
Oh,
this sucks. But once I got up, I got some water in my face. Then I got in the car to drive over to the facility. And I was like, all right, here we go. Put that behind me now. Let's get it.
Once you kind of figure out that routine, I think it's easy for a guy like AJ to just, it's like you're talking about maybe your weight. Or talking about your mentality. It's like there's got to be one thing that you're doing that's just kind of a little bit you, right? Yep. A little bit. It's not for everybody else. It's just for you. Maybe it's writing it down in a notebook. Maybe it's, you know, just
that was EJ's way.
It's maybe whatever it is. It's like gotta be something that's a little bit for you. And you're trying to associate that thing with how you're going to, how it's going to help you perform and start believing in that. Right. A lot of this stuff is, it's not placebo, but it's like, if you believe in it, man, it works. You know, if you believe what you're doing is important, that matters. It's one of the tenets of mental toughness. So,
100%.
I'm going to skip and then come back to another topic we had. So, because this kind of goes into it, JJ Watt said something,
right?
Because he's got two brothers that are still in the league. And, you know, like JJ Watt was, people don't give him credit because Aaron Donald just kind of came out of nowhere. And then JJ got hurt. And then Aaron Donald showed up and was like, oh my God, Aaron Donald. JJ Watt was unblockable for like
he was a
4 or 5 years straight. Nobody could block him. Mm-hmm. He was an absolute. I mean, I remember watching Hard Knocks when they were with the Texans, and like they had to take JJ out of every drill because he would just destroy. He's just like, all right, get JJ out of there. Get Bill O'Brien be over there pissed off. Like, can't run on goal line. JJ's in. Take him out, you know? And he said something to in an interview, and it kind of, honestly, like, I'm nowhere near the player, but the mentality was the same. He was talking about, because he was a big-time lifter, and they, you know, they had their whole off-season program. They have, like, I think they have a barn, or they've created their own kind of facility.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, man, there's nothing better than being able to do stuff that other people aren't willing to do and the power you have over other people because of that. Like, I love that. He said, but TJ, his brother, he goes, what I'm trying to teach him is, like, you know, maybe all of that, you know, lifting 700 pounds, doing all this crazy weight, maybe it contributed to my downfall later in my career. And it's interesting. AG is like, it might be true, but I'm like, to me, because I always said this, I tell my wife this, anybody want to ask, I go, I would rather play 8 years at my best, whatever my best was.
Yep.
I want to play 8 years at my best versus 14 at average. I can't live with average. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's different now. We're definitely about the long game now because the money's so big and that's what people think about. Mm-hmm. But I was going to push myself as hard as I could in the off season, during the season, and whatever kind of happened, you just kind of live with. And that, I know that's not a smart way to do it, but I also don't know that in like JJ Watt's conversation, is JJ Watt a 3-time defensive player of the year, surefire Hall of Fame player, if he doesn't push himself past his limits every offseason, even if it means you're not as good, you're not at the top for the last 2 to 3 years. Like, is it better? My question is, it better to burn out than to fade away?
I say that is a question for the ages, because as athletes with the drive that we had, no matter the sport, you know, if I played baseball, I would have been the same thing. I would have been driving myself to be the best outfielder. Training wise, I've been doing stuff baseball players I know didn't do. I'd be training like a football player. You know, I trained 1 year. I went down to Florida and I was trying to play baseball myself, but I ended up training all the baseball players there. A lot of these kids were from South America, and I think the youngest was 15 years old, but he was 6'4" and he was a pitcher, you know, but they're in the weight room just destroying their bodies because they're just throwing up weight. They're just looking at stuff on YouTube. This was back in 2012, 2013. They're just looking at stuff on YouTube and like, okay, I could do that. And which they were. They were young. They were young and strong. But I end up like having to show them the proper way to do lifting. And I say for baseball players, the bare minimum, if you lift like a football player would do in the early offseason, you will play 20, 30 years. You still keep your flexibility. You play a long time in baseball, in other words, what I was saying. So for the football flip side of it is, you know, it's a double-edged sword, because we know that the wear and tear can happen from lifting heavy weights. I remember, you know, seeing, you know, doing stuff. Like, I remember, like, we were talking about the our number from the last question was, my number was, if I could go 405 mid-season, 4 to 5 reps, I knew I was where I needed to be for that mid-season form. Talking that means, girls. Yeah, talking about squats. I had squats. it's just that double-edged sword that you kind of gotta have to play. You gotta play with it, because you gotta listen to your body. When your body speaks to you, you know, you gotta say, okay, I gotta tail off this a little bit, but I'm gonna keep it here just to keep my shoulder strength here or my leg strength here, because your body starts to ache, and that's just natural. And for JJ, and that is a true to life statement. I think for one, like you already mentioned, you answered what I would answer. Hey, I'm gonna go hard. If I go 5 years, I'm gonna go hard in the paint. if it was 15, 20, you know, I was able to go 12 as hard as I possibly could. And then my body was like, all right, you know, it's starting to, you know, you got to slow down a little bit or whatever. I would rather do that because I don't want to have doubt. I don't want to create no doubt.
That's the thing, right? Heart. Like, you just, that's why regret. I would go 100%. There's a regret thing there that you say, I mean, listen, we got teammates who come back and go, I wish I would have given, I had more to give. Mm-hmm. And I didn't give what I could have. And that's regretful. And you don't want anybody to live like that.
Nope.
And I think what people point to now, it's hard, especially like the NBA. LeBron's an easy one to look at. LeBron is literally the best athlete maybe they ever walked this earth. I mean, just genetically gifted. You just go, oh, my God.
He's
playing 20 years, and he's playing at a ridiculous level. But I'm not saying that he's pushing himself as hard as he can. I don't know. But I do know that he puts $1 million of hard
into his body, yes,
into his money every offseason.
And so he's doing it like that. That's what I said. He's doing it that one way where you're doing just enough to keep the longevity going.
Yeah.
You know,
and he can do that. In other words, a guy like that can do that
because of the sport.
Because of him.
Right.
I can't do that.
Yeah. Physically. Yeah. Being
there's guys, especially in the NFL, it's hard to look at that and go, oh, well, we know a handful of guys that could do that up to a certain point.
Correct. Wide receivers, that's a position where guy like Jerry Rice, like I mentioned, you know, Terrell Owens, he did it. You know, they could have that longevity. Why? Because not only maybe they not be lifting really heavy, they're not getting hit really hard constantly like we took hits. And I brought it to the game. You know, being an old lineman, it was your job every day to be physical up top and lower body. So.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I just, it's always an interesting, the burnout or fadeaway thing to me, it's always a tough one because it's like I told my kids one time, because they're like, one day my kids are like, dude, you're nuts. And I go, man, you have no idea. Like, I remember I was at the Naval Academy and this is sick, but I was so desperate to make it that I wouldn't miss a set. I went in and we were doing cleans, and I literally had whatever weight I had on there, and I hurt my back, and my back popped out, and it was bad. And I, you know, and I went out in the hallway, and I'm crying. I have tears in my eyes because not because it hurts, because I'm so scared to miss something
rep
and let people down. And so I literally am throwing myself into the wall to pop it back. I go back in, and I finish the set, and I have to like limp crawl, put my hand down to the training room. And it's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it any other way. it's just nuts. But so then we talk about the length of, you know, you start talking about the length of, or burnout and fade away. And we talk about how these people are playing for so long. And so contracts now.
Right.
And how much money they're making. And so when you think about a high level starter in this league, and all of the things that come with being an NFL star now, or an NBA star, or a Major League Baseball star, all the social media, all the followers, the brand awareness, the off the field opportunities. If you're a high level guy, let's say you didn't get drafted to Green Bay, but at that point you're a Green Bay Packer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Green Bay Packer. At some point, you get that contract talk, and it comes in. What, as a player now, do we prioritize, or what should we be prioritizing now, maybe versus then, or just how do we think about that? High level guy, not some guy you're scraping. I'm talking, you're a starter, bona fide star in this league playing.
So when you're saying prioritize, like in terms of your focus,
player. So look at this, AG. So somebody comes to you and says, "We want to talk contract." Okay, obviously there's a financial component. There's a system component, there's organization component, coach component, marketing component. Now, are you going to help me get more followers? Are you helping me?
Yeah, like today, correct? All this stuff
that we didn't have to deal with. But for me,
okay, I got it now. Now I got it. I can answer.
Going to be the thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. So like for me as a player, if I was playing today, I'll try to do two sides of this. So I'm like me now, my brain, just younger. The first thing, the priority is just, you know, let's get the deal done. Let's have this negotiation. Let's look at my stats and all that. You know, I'm very aware of where I'm at. I stand in the league. If you, you know, go back 10 years, this is why going into one of our better seasons as an offense. And so that year before I was a Pro Bowler, it's just so putting in those stats. So the last thing, to be honest, the way I'm, you know, built and knowing now, last thing I'm thinking about is social media, you know, how many followers I got, all that. I'm worrying about contract first. That's my, you know, talking to my agent, talking to Gutekunst, getting on the same page. You know, look, I want to be here for the remainder of my career. This is what I, you know, deserve to be. And I was a guy where I said, look, just give me what I earn. I'm not trying to break the bank. Give me what I earned to this point, you know, at this time in my career, what my stats say and where they compare to the other running backs that are at my caliber. That's if it's $1 more than, you know, somebody over at the Rams or the Falcons or the Dolphins. Okay. If my yards are better than him, then do that. But other than that, I'm not crying. I'm telling my agent, look, I'm not trying to, you know, bank rob them. Let's get what I earn and go from there. Make this easy as possible.
There's a 3 or 4 year stint where you and Priest Holmes had the highest yards from scrimmage than anybody in the league. So you could have at this point asked for whatever you want. So what you're saying is, number one, you have to make the determination that you want to be in Green Bay.
Yep. And I did that. I was like, I want to be here. So that was one.
So this whatever was happening here is good for you. From a personal standpoint, from a professional standpoint,
family, everything is, it works.
And then the second thing then is like, okay, well, I know what I'm worth. I don't think it's right that you'd ask me to take a discount, but correct. I'm certainly not going to try to Deshaun Watson the market here.
Right.
To prove a point.
I'm not going to reset the market on me.
Yeah. I think this is where, a lot of people that are out there busting their ass to make $50,000 a year, sometimes we get a problem when, you know, people are talking about, I'm going to get that bag. And it's like, it's a lot of money, but if you got a guy making $20 million a year and he skips town to make 20.5 or 21, you're going, there's gotta be, you're hoping there's gotta be more to it. There's got to be something else that he's getting for in return than you know, a 5% increase in pay.
That's not
to
worth
go to another team, because it just doesn't make – otherwise it doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it makes zero sense, because you're already in a place you're very comfortable with, mm-hmm. offensively or defensively, wherever you sit, and now there's no percentage of money can help take away that comfort that you already earned where you're at. Because now you got to go through that whole process again. Mm-hmm. You got to get acclimated to a new team, a new city. Your family got to find, if you got kids, they got to get into school. You know, you got to make sure the wife is, it's all that going on. That's behind the scenes. And then, oh, on top of that, you got to be now the free agent, tight end, running back, tackle that get paid all this money. And you got to show up when you're already dealing with the normal stuff off the field that every athlete deals with when going into a free agent or a draft, or I say trade or anything like that.
My seventh year, I'm going into my contract year. I'm going to be the way we
you're
wrote
in
our
Seattle
contract.
Then, right? Right? By
no,
that
no,
time?
No, no, sorry. My seventh year, I was in Green Bay.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was my last year in Green Bay, and I knew that we were going to go free agent. Like the way that we wrote our contract, they had to cut me. The cap hit was $25 million. It was a ridiculous number, right?
We knew we were going into
free agency, and I wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, quite frankly, like I didn't want to play for, you know, the line coach. I didn't have a good relationship. You hear some things about what's being said in the media and whatnot. And I wanted the challenge. I wanted to go somewhere else. I wanted to go mm-hmm. prove myself. And you know, when you're an offensive lineman and you got Amon Green running and you got Brett Favre in the backfield, and it's like sometimes you want to go, okay, am I good everywhere else too?
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
But once you get through with all that stuff, the priority for me was, I've decided that we're not going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just immediately went, where are the, like, who are the people I hate to play the most? I'm going to go play with them. It was really that easy. Okay. I hate playing against, I mean, I love playing against the Panthers defense because they're so good. Chris Jenkins, Mike Rucker, Julius Peppers, Dan Morgan, Will Witherspoon, Brenton Buckner, Mike Minter. They were so good. The box was so freaking good. I was like, dude, I've never played on a team that had a defense like that. That's where I want to go.
Mm.
And I didn't care really about anything. Like, I had a wish list, and they were top of the list. I had two or three other teams that were on there. I got lucky they called. And it just became like the rest of it just kind of, I didn't even ask about the rest of it. Like the money, when you go to free agent, and I was a high rank guy, like, you know, you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not like, I don't care what everybody else is getting and this and that. Like, it doesn't,
yeah,
that part,
exactly.
That part doesn't, you know,
that's their business.
Yeah. That's just do it. You want to be in a situation where you think you can find success. They had just been in a Super Bowl 2 years before. They have a strong running game. Stephen Davis, the Auburn running back, was there for a couple of years, and they just picked up Deshaun Foster. They had Steve Smith. You're just going like, there's some pieces there that make sense.
Yep.
And you go try to find where you can be successful and find a good fit. But all the other stuff, I've met other guys now, especially when I was down in Miami with guys now, and they've got, you know, social media teams. They have cameras following around all the time, and they're worried about is like, I got to reset this market. And it's not a bad thing. It's just interesting to see how different the game is. And then when you hear a guy like JJ Watt talking about like, I emptied the tank.
Yeah,
like I emptied the tank.
And I respect that. That's what I got more respect for that. And I say, I was thinking about, as soon as you said like social media, I'm thinking about your favorite guy, Mr. Russell. Russell Wilson, with the way he does his social media.
Russ comes off as a very hard worker.
Right.
Like you have no problem. Like, we have no fundamental problem with how much effort the guy puts into being a good player. It's kind of the, you know, listen, you like strawberry, I like chocolate. Like, I want to be left alone. Maybe you want to be everybody know what you're doing. You know, it's just difference of opinion, you know, or difference of familiarity. But certainly, like, one thing I would never say about that guy, I'd say a lot about him, but one thing I would never say is he's not a hard worker, because you know that.
Oh, no.
He's busting it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he's working. He's working.
All right, last one here.
Yep.
What do you think?
That's a good question. Let's go.
So I did this show for the Packers, Zach Tom and Josh Nyman.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, it's like, who's going to play right tackle? And so I broke down a tape watching the both of them at the same time, Zach was playing left tackle, but you know, it's transferable.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in this league now, a lot of really good defensive ends are playing on the left side now against the right tackle, because that's, you know, Michael Strahan, all those guys starting, TJ Watt, they're breaking all the sack records over there now, right?
Yeah.
So Zach Tom has in my opinion, from an athletic standpoint, now I don't know anything about their locker room. I don't know anything about how they study. From an athletic standpoint, from a technical standpoint, footwork wise, and from a finish standpoint, I think Zach has the potential to be a better player.
Okay.
At what stage? Because now you've got Jordan Love, new quarterback, got all these new pieces. How much better does Zach Tom have to be from an athletic standpoint in order to unseat a guy who started an entire season and did a good job and did well enough to get his tender offer with Josh Nyman? Like, what's that difference have to be in talent before you actually pull the trigger in the National Football League?
It's that talent being confident in their game, and then that coaching staff seeing that talent saying, hey, we got to put him in. Because every time he's in, he's doing something that pops up off the screen. He's making a difference in the line, or, you know, his blocking and all that. That's what happened.
So that means it's production, though. You know what I mean?
It boils down to production. It's only production, because it's about how many, when you do your plays, how many plays out of 5, 10, pick a number, how many plays out of that 10 plays were successful and like, oh my God, look what he did. He cleared the path for the running back. He did this to the tackle. He assisted here. He picked up the blitz coming backside.
Let me ask you this then, because this is, okay, do you remember Oklahoma State famously had Barry Sanders backing up Thurman Thomas?
Yes. I knew. Yeah, that's true. Right? That's the true statement.
And Thurman Thomas Thurman Thomas was in my opinion, the second best running back in the National Football League when Barry Sanders was in the game. Better than Emmitt Smith for me.
Yeah.
But he was up there at least. Very good player. But it was Barry Sanders.
Right.
So there's a situation where you go, because you just said he had to make this huge, you know, clear the lane or whatever. Is that a position where it might be like, well, wait a second, dude, like this kid is doing stuff that the other one just can't do?
I would say first thing is I'm glad I have this problem.
Yeah,
as a running back coach, if I'm an O-line coach, I'm glad I have this problem, because now these players are competing. They're doing things now that I had never seen O-linemen do, because they're trying to fight out who's going to be the starter. So I'm like, I want this problem. And so to your point, like having Barry Sanders in the backup, the good thing is, look, where Thurman was a senior maybe.
Or yeah, upperclassman. Only 1 year left.
So yeah, it's left. Like, okay. Yeah. You know, you could play the game. Okay, I got him for one more year. And then next year, Barry, this is your team, you know. And that's where, you know, even though the years are not as different as it was with Yashman and Tom, they're actually a little bit closer, you know, and Yashman just got that big deal. So it's still going to be a fact of that Lion coach is going to have to, once they see enough, it's going to be a time where they have to pull the trigger and be like, all right, I know we paid Yash this money, if it becomes to that. If not, it'd be like, all right, then we stick with Yash, because he's done this. So it will be that determining factor, is looking for that and paying attention to that as a coaching staff.
There's no right answer. When I was watching it, I just went, you know, the ceiling is clearly higher, but he's never had a full offseason in the National Football League. Is he going to be better? Is he going to be bigger? Yash looks the part right now. He's 6'7". He's 315 pounds. He's very, very well. But I remember John Runyon Jr. saying the kid looks like a damn freak of nature, you know. So he's well built. He's got good feet. It's not like he's a bad player.
Yeah.
It's just the way that Zach Tom tries to finish, the way that he rolls his hips through, it's we don't have other players on the line that can do that. Mm-hmm. And he can't sustain because he's not strong enough yet. But if he gets there – it's like,
you can get there.
It's like, do you sit the guy in the, you know, it's like the quarterback question. You got a real talent. You sit him on the bench, or do you throw him in the fire? Do you sit him on the bench and let him get prepared, or do you throw him in the fire? I mean, I guess it's interesting that it could pertain to some other, I don't think that pertains to running back. I think if you have a good running back, you just put him in. Because it's like, all right, I mean, can you, Maybe you don't put him in on blitz pickup, but otherwise you're going to find a way to get him the damn ball. If you can play, but you can't do that at quarterback position. You have to make that decision. Offensive line, there's maybe some other positions that you have to make a different decision than like wide receiver. If a wide receiver can run fast, like, hey, Corey Bradford.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't know if the bro knew another route. He just ran nines. You know what I mean?
I remember.
I mean, I love Corey, but like, it'd be like, all right, Corey's in the game. I guess we're going deep. You know what I mean? He's either like running off or going for it.
Yeah, like I said, it's just up to that coach doing his due diligence, watching the gameplay of those players or whoever the player is, to then eventually say, is he worth making the change? Is he doing what I'm seeing or what we've seen other amazing offensive linemen do at that position? All right, we got to at least try it out. Maybe, you know, you got a lot of time. So you got these OTAs and you got training camp, you know, and then, you know how training camp goes. First couple weeks, guys get hurt, not putting in on anything, but that's just part of the game. It happens. So with that, just making sure that guy, be it Tom, be it Yash, are ready to go. And like I said, it's a good problem to have when you have inventory of solid, really good players that are technically sound with not a lot of, well, basically because of their talent.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what they do. That'll be, but hopefully that's a good training camp battle that we can talk about
100%
later on. But for now, get off my lawn because something came up. We've talked about this before. I just, this whole game in media, bro, is like, hey, it's like, it's almost like we start, hey, you say something really stupid and then I'm going to debate how dumb it was. And so this guy is Bleacher Report guy. He puts together this like imaginary trade and I don't know what's going on. So like, I click on the internet and I type in package, see what's going on. And it's like, potential trade, Yash Nyman for maybe to the Raiders for Davante Adams or something. I go, what? And it's like, oh yeah. And it's like, it turns out this is an imaginary trade from some guy over. You know, there's no background, no validity whatsoever. And you're just like, this thing was the top four clicks when you typed in Packers, and I just go, you've got to be kidding.
You know why though, right?
Well, yeah, but like,
yeah. I agree with you. We should read the newspaper.
Maybe we need a break from
sports. And so, to your point, 100% agree. News outlets, bloggers, even the big ones, the big boys, ESPN, NFL Network, they are so inept in creating their narrative so they can have their talking heads go in on it. Like this morning, I turn on TV while I'm working out so I can have it in the background. And I end up muting it because it was just annoying how much they were narrating the line between Miami and the Celtics and what's going on in that series and why the Celtics are not playing good against the Heat and all this. I'm just like, they're basically trying to get that. I mean, by the end of the day, this coach is going to get fired because of what's been talking about on ESPN basketball. So it's just like, why are they so hard at creating this narrative that has nothing to do with what any of the players said, what's going on in the court? And it's like,
I'm so glad you brought that up, bro.
I'm
because,
like, wow.
AG, let's have this talk right now.
Yeah.
If you have two all NBA players, but call it NFL, call whatever you want.
Yeah, any sport.
Any sport. They say Joe Mazzulla needs to get fired because those two didn't play well. And they lost the team.
Yeah, I'm like,
he can get fired. I'm not saying maybe he didn't make some. I don't know enough about basketball. Maybe some
we don't know what's going on in that city. Right,
we didn't slip the screen well enough. Oh, sorry, whatever. But when you start saying at the professional, this isn't high school, bro.
No,
this isn't college. Yeah. When you got guys going on ESPN. Kendrick Perkins is a damn NBA championship. He goes on ESPN, and I know he's got a story he's got to tell.
Yeah.
But when you start saying stuff like, you lost the team, guys aren't playing for you, I just don't know on what planet. Disdain that I had for our line coach is, immeasurable.
Oh, yeah.
But to suggest that he had anything to do with my effort or wanting to win, it's like, what are you talking? That's not how this works. We're pros.
I had a couple coaches,
home, bro.
Right. I had a couple coaches I did not like.
Yeah.
But that had nothing to do with what I was going to do on that practice field or the game field.
Right.
It was a separation of, okay, I'm, you know, we're not best friends, and this is not about being besties, being a coach to player relationship. No, just as long as you, you know, teach me what I need to know. All right. But even then, if you don't, I'm going to figure it out on my own, or I'm going to ask another player. But my gameplay is not going to be a fake. Like, that's the last thing I'm going to worry about walking on the field.
Okay. All right. So this has got to be the question then, because you and I, that is the dumbest statement that we could possibly hear.
That's why I put it on mute. I put it on mute. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Do you think it's because they have guaranteed contracts?
I would say real easy. Yes. Yes. And the NBA has it where, you know, the players speak freely, you know, they say a lot more than we do. Not saying, and we, and actually NFL players are saying a lot more than our time. When we're at our time, mostly we, you know, wasn't as much as talking back or replying, whatever, as players, but now it's different in NFL. It's come a long way. But NBA
quarterback position, certainly,
particularly there. So, but for NBA, they've been doing this forever. I mean, you go back to the 70s, 80s, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael, Magic Johnson, they spoke their mind. Larry Bird, you know, they spoke their mind, and they've been doing it since then.
Magic got somebody fired his second year.
And probably did.
Yeah.
I mean, because they were even quoting Magic, because Magic being Magic and saying, hey, remember back in the 80s, da 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 da. And he said they look like they quit. So they're using that one little quote that he put on Twitter to then potentially get this Boston Celtics coach. I'm like, come on, y'all. The series ain't over. Okay, it might be, but I'm just saying, as a player mindset, it's like it's not over till it's over, you know. But they're just grabbing stuff. It's just amazing. They're grabbing stuff, and it's the middle of the offseason. Football is pretty much taking a nap right now because everybody's in OTAs, and you know, all the big contracts are completed. Now they're just trying to define something of an offseason left, because another 2 months, then they'll be able to get back to, you know, talking about football every day, all day. So I think that's where the media is at right now, all the heavy hitters.
It is interesting on the flip side of that with the NBA, at least, and maybe the quarterbacks and some other guys that are getting high price contracts now. As a player, you know, it's really interesting, AG, because like as a player, you go, I want the players to have as much say as they possibly can, but on the other hand, that is that statement's probably in a vacuum, you know, because the truth is, the player's job is to play well. It's not to pick the other players. It's not to go pick their buddies. This is somewhat controversial, especially at the NFL level when you got 53 people on the roster.
Yeah.
There might be some guys you have a good rapport with that you want, you know, certainly on the basketball court or the soccer field, there's be some guys you have a good rapport with that you want to work. There's some guys that, hey, obviously like everybody wants an Amon Green in the running back room, but it's not like, you know, the quarterback's going like, oh, we got to get Amon Green. And the coach is like, no, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not that situation.
Right.
But it is interesting because you want the players to have as much say as possible, but old school of me, I guess, it does feel odd, as much as I champion a lot of it, when a player can have the influence of getting a coach fired. Like it feels odd to me. And that's probably because I play offensive line.
It feels super odd too.
Yeah. Offensive line, running back, like
anybody.
respected positions. But you know, a quarterback at this, you know, quarterbacks get coaches fired for bad play.
Yeah.
And listen, we know that they're involved in hiring discussions. So you just, you know, it's a really weird, I don't know if that's a place where I really want to go with sports, you know, at this stage. And maybe I'm sure it says that's how it is in the NBA, but with football, I don't know if I really want to go that route.
Yeah. Cause the players, I mean, we were talking about a guy that we, as a basketball goat, well, I'm going to say it because he is Michael Jordan. We brought his name up earlier, and even though, remember, when he became an owner, it was different. You know, remember when he played, he had the little butting heads with the GM of the Bulls with some of his negotiation. And that's why he, towards the end of his contract, I think the last 3 years of his career, they were all one-year deals. Mm-hmm. And it was because of that, that static. Now he retires, actually comes back, plays as a Wizard. Then buys, you know, he already owns the Wizards. Then becomes GM owner. And he's now in that space as an owner, you know, as somebody that can't really influence the court. he going to only way he influences the court is here's the money. You got to draft the players, you know, to the GM and the head coach. But he obviously he tried to butt in on some of the players. I remember when was it Kwame Richardson?
Kwame Brown.
Brown, when they first drafted him, I remember seeing a video where he was getting literally told the riot act by Michael Jordan every day. And he kind of like shattered him, you know, because he was only 18. And you got Michael Jordan basically berating you every day instead of finding that connection first and then go down that line and be right there. So he never established that connection with Kwame. And so Kwame, like, kind of, you know, he defended himself. He kind of like went the other way only because of defense. He took personal through the attacks instead of taking it as I'm trying to make you better, which that's old school for us. You know, people get
Michael,
in our face.
Michael Jordan's a borderline sociopath when it comes to
yeah. He's a winner. He's one of them guys. We've seen it, you know, and it wasn't to a fault to like belittle him. It's just trying to make him better as a player. But Kwame didn't know that, you know, and that's something he had to learn. Michael Jordan had to learn that. On the ownership side, it's a little different territory to try to get a player to find their potential. I say player got to find their own potential in my book. I say no, there's no stretch of a matter of a coach what you can do and say to that unless that player flips that switch on their own. Then you'll have their full attention. You know,
Michael Jordan has two things that he's done that make him the undisputed champion of the world.
Right.
One is he had in his contract for love of the game clause, which
I love that. When I heard that, I didn't know he put that in there.
He could play basketball. For those who don't know, it just meant he could play basketball anywhere,
anytime.
For any reason. There's nobody, and they couldn't take away his money if he got hurt, which was just absolutely
genius.
Phenomenal.
Genius.
And the second thing he did, it was more recent. Somebody asked, like a reporter, something said, "Hey, do you think the Chicago Bulls, your Chicago Bulls team, could beat the LeBron's Lakers?" They played each other, and he goes, "Yeah, of course." And he goes, "Well, how many did you win by?" He goes, "Like probably like 3 or 4 points." He goes, "Why so little?" He goes, "We're all 60 years old now."
I love it.
Like, I was like, "You are the absolute."
Yes.
I don't know if he's sitting on that.
I could tell where you were going with it too, because I was like, he's talking about current, like guys still alive, living, but in their six, almost mid 50s, early 60s.
Dude, it's unbelievable, man.
Oh, man.
Awesome. AG, tell me they can find you, bud.
Oh man, find me on Instagram, Twitter at Amon Green 30, all one word, and then Amon Green's Gamers Lounge on TikTok and YouTube, talking about some fun gaming stuff here, man. So,
what's up? What's new in the gaming world? We got a new game coming out.
Oh man, new games. Yeah, Jedi Survivor just hit, and Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom. That is the two big games, and then Harry Potter.
What about Diablo 4, dude?
Diablo 4 came out about a month ago. It looks scary. It's fun. It's on Xbox too. It's not just on PC anymore. So both. Yep. So those.
That was actually a commercial in a movie I just saw. It was.
It looks creepy. It looks messed up.
Extreme.
It's Diablo. It's the devil. So. Oh yeah, they have some fun with those games. But and then a game that came out earlier this year that's like sold more copies than they breaking records, which is no surprise. It's Harry Potter Hogwarts game that's on console, Xbox, and PlayStation. I'm like, yeah, the books done sold $1 trillion, a kazillion, I don't know. And now the video game is doing the same thing. So it was like, no surprise.
I love that, like, when Tony Hawk came out with, Tony Hawk Street Escape, whatever it was called. It was such a fun game.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
I used to love playing. It was my favorite game to play.
They refurbished it. They brought part two back out again.
Over and over and over, yeah. And then they're asking Tony Hawk, they're like, when did you know it was going to be good? And he's like, he said somebody effective, like the Activision guy took him out to lunch and they said, yeah, we're going to come out with season 4 and it's going doing really well. And he's like, what do you mean well? And he like slid him a check for like $4 million. He's like,
yeah,
really? He's like, really well, these will be coming every year. It's like, all right,
yeah,
good,
yeah,
good,
thank you.
More for the group,
appreciate it. Mike, where they can find, let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, man. Mike Wall 68 on Twitter and TikTok. Process to Perform on Instagram. AG, fun as always.
Yes, it is.
We'll catch you next week. Until then, enjoy everybody. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll see you soon.
Hey, you too as well, Mike. Peace.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today, we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.